can start there tonight. And I want to call the message tonight this: following the baby. That's right, following the baby. And in case you think that's weird, don't worry. I'm sure it will all make sense by the end. I hope it will make sense by the end. But yeah, so just turn to Hebrews, all right? Man, I kind of following the baby. For those of you who have little ones, you know what it is to chase babies. We'll get to there, guys. We'll get to there. Don't worry about it. For those of you who hope to be married one day, you're in for it. I'm just telling you right now, you're going to get married, and life's going to be wonderful, and then you're going to pop out some kids. You're going to be like, oh, my God, what have I done? But no, let me say this just to be fair. Children are a blessing from the Lord, all right? And I want to make sure that, you know, in a day and age, in a generation where, you know, let's just be honest. There's too many people that do not value life, okay? And I want to be very clear. You know what? That children are a blessing from God, whether they were on purpose or not. You need to take hold of God's word and man, walk out what God has for you. Amen. And so, anyways, all I'm saying is following the baby. I know that sounds kind of funny. I think of, you know, chasing my kids around the house, like, you know, put your shoes on. Stop doing that. Don't touch her. Be quiet. What did Daddy say? No. What did Daddy say? And when you take a pause and you're like, oh my God, what is, am I even saved anymore? But, so anyways, it'll make sense. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 2 says this. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. What's happening right here? Essentially, God is describing how he communicates. Anybody here want to learn how to communicate better with God? I know I do, all right? And God wants to communicate with you. Just in case you were wondering, God is a relational God. God is not interested in just sitting up in heaven and being some dictator as we would understand here on the earth, okay? He's a relational God, and he wants to know you, and he wants you to get to know him. And how many of you know if you're going to have a good relationship with somebody, that requires communication, right? Like if you're in a relationship where the other person is not communicating with you, that's abuse, baby. You need to get out of your abusive relationship. Well. All right, you need to work on that relationship. How about that? Okay. I don't want to talk to no married people today after service. Like you said, I could get out, and that's not what I said. Okay, all right. So, but you understand that in order to have a healthy relationship, it requires communication. And so, what God is doing right here is he's beginning to describe to you some of the ways that he communicates to us. And he says here, I communicate. One of the ways I will speak to you is through my Son, through Jesus. Listen, today, if you're in need of hearing the voice of God, maybe you should just take a time out and look at the life of Jesus, because you know what? The Bible says that you're going to begin to hear God's voice speak to you. Now, let's be clear tonight, okay? Because when God says that he's going to speak through his Son, he's talking about Jesus speaking to you through the words that he said and through the things that he did. You got to make sure you understand both, okay? You know, the New Testament specifically, well, the Gospels really are full of red letters, all right? If you have a red letter edition Bible, how many know what that means, right? Those are the words of Jesus. But how many of you know that the Bible contains more than just Jesus' words? It also contains his life, the things that he did, the things that he did not do. And God is speaking to us today through the life of Jesus. And if we can take a look at not only what Jesus has said, and I'm not trying to belittle that side, I'm trying to elevate the other side. You know, sometimes we Christians, we look at Jesus and we love Jesus, right? Anybody here love Jesus? And we love Jesus and we think he's amazing and we think he's awesome. But when it comes to living our lives like him, we think, oh no, that's not for me. That's not for me. How many times have I heard young adults say, I'm not Jesus? Right? And somehow we disclude ourselves from living the life that God has really called us to live, well, because we're not Jesus. I mean, after all, he's the Son of God. I am not, right? Hopefully, maybe somebody here needs to understand that, that you're not the Savior. But you understand that, you know, sometimes people, we erroneously come to the conclusion that because Jesus was perfect and because he was the Son of God, well, there's no hope for me to live the kind of life that he lived. But what did we just read? That God is trying to speak to us through his Son, through what he said and what he did. And God's intention from the very beginning is that you and I would live just like Jesus lived. In fact, that when the world looks at us, they wouldn't necessarily see us, but they would see Christ in me, the hope of glory. A manifest Jesus here on the earth. That's what the world is looking for, right? And God wants to give it to them, but he wants to give it to them through you and through me. You know, I find it very challenging when you look at verses like John chapter 14, right? Jesus comes along and he says, he who believes in me, now just so everybody's clear, that would mean every Christian on the face of the planet from the very beginning, okay? So that means you're included. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And I'm like, oh, God. And then to make things better, more difficult, and greater works shall he do because I go to my Father. Have you ever contemplated such a thing? That you can live the same kind of life that Jesus lived. And that you could do the same kinds of things that Jesus did. And greater. You know, there's another, actually that was John chapter 14. It's kind of interesting because if you go to John chapter 15, the incredible statements don't stop, right? Jesus comes along and says, hey, as I have loved you, so you also must love one another. Are you seeing what's going on here? I know I'm quoting verses to you, but I think I'm going slow enough for y'all to follow. And I think that some of these verses are things that you're familiar with, all right? But you guys see what's going on here? The works that I do, you do also. As I have loved, I want you to love also. What's going on? We are mimicking, we are imitating his life. Okay. That's take a time out, make sure it's sinking in. You come along to 1 Peter, and all of a sudden he starts saying things like, Jesus left us an example on how to suffer for his name's sake. That just makes the church want to shout. Suffer, 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 suffer. No. Did you know the Bible says it's been granted to us, it's a privilege to suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ. You know, it's kind of funny because if you look at life, you're not going to go through life without suffering. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to suffer for any reason, I want to suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ. So my point, though, is, and I got a little bit off track, is that the Bible says he left us an example. There's another verse that says, you know, it says, be imitators of God as dear children. Are y'all following me today? What I'm trying to say to you is it's very important for us to understand that God has called us to live the life of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, when we take that seriously, how many of you realize, too, that God's not going to tell us to do something that we cannot do? All right, so this is not like God's writing stuff down in the Bible like, ha ha, this is going to be so funny watching them try to do this. This is going to be hilarious. Get the angels together. No, that's not. He's told you because you can do it. Now, not on your own, but by his grace, you're going to be able to do it. But you've got to take it seriously. You and I have got to take it seriously. We've got to begin to look at, you know, the life of Jesus and the lives of these awesome men and women of God and begin to say, you know what, I'm going to do what they did. I'm going to make a point of it to follow the example that God left for me. This actually at the end of this last year, I started reading through the book of Luke, and it was really amazing because as I read, it's kind of like, you know, I one of my habits is I just like to read through books, and I kind of, you know, pray about it a little bit before I'm getting to the end. I'm kind of asking God, all right, like, what's the next book? You know what? God has just spoken to my heart a few times. I want you to read the book of Acts. Man, that's a blessing. Well, any book of the Bible is a blessing, but especially when you follow the leading of God. And listen, I'm not trying to say that every time I read my Bible, it's because God specifically gave me a verse or a book to read. Sometimes you got to read by faith. Y'all follow me, all right? So don't get the wrong impression. But and so I opened up the book of Luke, and I don't remember if God told me to read it or not, but it was just a blessing to me. It really made my Christmas. How many know that the book of Luke starts off talking about, you know, Jesus coming to earth, the Christmas story, right? And so anyways, so it really made my Christmas. But I got around to this verse. Remember now, we're talking about living the life that Jesus lived. And I got around to this verse, and I looked at it, and I was like, and I read it. Anybody here ever been challenged by the Word of God? Like, all right, I need to do that better, a lot better. I suck. No, it wasn't that bad. But I looked at this verse, and it just really challenged me, and it got my attention. Now, let me say this. I don't know what you think of when you think of Jesus. Maybe when I say the name Jesus, you think of Jesus ministering to the multitudes, and that's a great picture to have. Maybe you think of a Savior on the cross, and that's a great picture to have. Maybe you think of a risen Lord, amen, seated at the right hand of the Father. That's a really good picture to have. We just kind of got out of Christmas, like I said. Maybe you picture a baby in a manger. And some wise men and this kind of thing. But what's interesting is that, you know, sometimes in our minds, in our thoughts, we see Jesus as a baby in the manger. And the next picture we have is Jesus ministering to the multitudes, dying on the cross and rising again. And we don't think very much about what took place in between. Now, to be fair, the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about Jesus' childhood. But did you know that it does talk about Jesus' childhood a little bit? In fact, there's one story where the Bible says at the age of 12 that Jesus, he and his parents traveled to go to Jerusalem and to do some sacrifices and stuff. And this was like, you know, a few days journey at least, okay? And so all of a sudden, and they went with this big caravan, right? And so they go to Jerusalem and they do their thing, and all of a sudden they leave. And a few days into this trip, Joseph and Mary are like, where's Jesus? He was still back in Jerusalem, all right, debating with the religious leaders and confounding them with his wisdom. And so they went throughout this, like, well, if you look historically, okay, the Bible doesn't say that they went through looking throughout the caravan, but how do you, like, not know where your 12-year-old child is for, like, days, right? Either Mary was, like, a terrible mom, which I don't believe that she was, or history would say that when you make big trips like this, okay, that you would travel with a number of people, probably with a lot of your family. And so they probably went around to, like, you know, to their, you know, cousins and stuff. Like, have you seen Jesus? Have you seen him? Like, oh, crap, he's gone. We just lost the Savior of the world, Joseph. How do you do that? Right? Could you imagine? So they go back and they find him and, right, there's this whole thing, and they're like, what have you been doing? He's like, don't you know I have to be about my Father's business? And the Bible says after that, but he went back with them, and the Bible says, and he was submitted to them. It implies to me that Jesus learned submission. Now, I know you guys are beyond, I don't know, maybe some of you still live at home. I like to talk to the teens about this particular subject because I like to explain to them, you know, Jesus knows what it's like to live at home and live under the rules of their parents. He was submissive, and you need to be submissive too. Anyways, I'm getting way off track. Luke chapter 2, verse number 40 says this, right? So we know the story about the baby in the manger. Remember, we're still talking about the life that Jesus lived, all right? And in Luke chapter 2, it gives us just a little insight as to what happened after the manger, following the baby. Luke chapter 2, verse number 40 says this, and this is where I got challenged. It says, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Just look over to verse number 52, right? I didn't include this, but let's just read it because it's kind of funny because actually in my Bible, verse number 40 is on the first column and verse number 52 is right next to it just on the other column. So it's almost like they're side by side, like God is trying to specifically say something to me. And that's how I took that. But anyways, in verse number 52, it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." Do you see why I was challenged? I was challenged because I began to see that Jesus grew up. And if Jesus had to grow up, how much more am I going to have to grow up? Now, how many of you see here that, first, verse number 40 says, "And the child grew." You could see that as physically growing, right? And that's kind of something that happens on its own, right? I think it's kind of funny too, like, I'll go to the doctors, like, when your kids are small, you go to the doctors, and they have these routine visits, and they start measuring them, right? And one of the funny things to me is, like, when they measure their head, I'm always interested to see, like, what percentile of size head they have according to the, you know, in comparison to the rest of the world. And when my son first started this, he kind of had a big head, and I kind of thought to myself, oh my God, what if he's, like, in the 99th percentile of heads? Like, he's just going to have a noggin, right? But thankfully, he's a beautiful child, and he's definitely growing into it, and he just looks amazing. But all right, so, but why do they do that? They do that to make sure that you're growing, because growing is a good thing, right? But it's not just talking about Jesus growing up physically. You get the implication here that's like on the lesser of important issues in regards to Jesus's growth. He grew up spiritually. And the child became strong in spirit. My goodness, how strong in spirit am I? How strong in spirit are you? Are we strong enough to withstand the persecution of the world? Are we strong enough to, you know what, hold to our faith in the workplace? Hold to our faith in the marriage relationship? Hold to our faith, you know what, regardless of what's going on around me? Because see, he was strong in spirit. He grew. He grew up spiritually. He was strong in spirit, it says, and he was filled with wisdom. How much am I increasing in my wisdom of God and in God? It's very important, y'all. He increased in wisdom. I mean, he was filled with wisdom. It says, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, we're not going to talk about it tonight, possibly next week. But, you know, First Peter comes along and actually says this. He encourages us to grow in the grace of God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. These things, strength and spirit, these things, wisdom, these things, grace, these things, favor, favor with God and men, are things that we are going to have to grow in. And unlike physical growth, all right, physical growth kind of happens on its own. But spiritual growth happens depending upon how much attention you're willing to give that part of your life. Remember, I took a long time to do this big intro, and I'm running out of time. I haven't even got to my points, but that's okay, because remember we started off talking about, hey, we're supposed to follow the example that Jesus lives for, that Jesus left for us. And listen, if we can't even follow the baby out of the manger, what makes us think we're going to live the life that God has called us to? Listen, I love you enough to tell you tonight, you know what, let's just be honest. In some areas of our lives, and I'm talking to myself too, we're still in our cribs. We need to grow up. We need to grow up, and we need to follow his example. We need to grow up specifically tonight, spiritually. How many know today that, again, I made the statement, let me make it again, that growing is a good thing. Why? Because when you grow, you acquire more, right? You remember when, no, you don't remember when you were a baby, neither do I, but when you grow physically, all right, you gain abilities. First, you were this little ball that could probably fit, you know, between wrist and the top of your hand when you were born, right? And your legs were like, my wife's like, no, that's not correct. You get the point, all right? But, you know, wrapped up, and remember, you've seen a baby, like, their knees are, like, naturally up to their chest at all times. Like, you try to, like, stretch out their leg, they're like, boink. And this little ball in this blanket that cries, eats, poops, sleeps, poops some more, wakes up, cries, eats, poops, sleeps, and poops some more. That's all you do, right? In the beginning of stages of life. How many are glad that you've moved beyond that? And somebody's still not, what? Never mind. Okay, all right. And then you go from that to rolling over, and your parents are all thrilled, like, oh my God, look, he's rolling over. And you go from that to crawling, from that to walking, from walking to running. And you gain these abilities in life. You gain opportunities. You know, you got to the age of, I don't know what it is now, 15, 16. You could drive now. Okay. You are eligible to work now. Right? Right? You gain freedoms. Right? And the more you grow, the more that is available to you. And it's the same spiritually. The more you grow, the more will be available to you. Abilities, opportunities, freedoms. Come on, somebody, but you got to grow. Hey, listen, your blessed life is just ahead of you. You just got to grow into it. Some of us are, God, where you at? How come I'm not blessed? How come I'm not? It's like that teenager. I want to do this. How come you won't let me stay out till past 9? Because you haven't grown up yet enough for me to trust you. And it's the same spiritually. The more you grow, the more will be available to you, and you're going to step into the life that God has called you to. So today, we're talking about following the baby. What did the baby do? The baby didn't stay in the manger. Neither should we stay babies spiritually. The baby grew. The child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. He grew spiritually. So tonight, I just got 3 quick points. Hopefully they're quick. In Jesus' name, they'll be quick. 3 points, okay? We're going to talk about what it means to grow spiritually. Is that all right? Be a little bit more specific than just, I walk out of here, I need to grow spiritually. I have no idea what that means, but amen, I'm going to grow spiritually. All right, let's be a little bit more specific, all right? What does it mean to grow spiritually? Number one, tonight, it means to grow in your relationship with God. How many know tonight that there's more to God than you have experienced up until this point? Ooh, there's a whole lot more. In fact, I'm almost convinced that, you know, for the rest of eternity, there's still going to be more. God is just that big. He's an infinite God. But there's more of God. It's just kind of funny. I was getting ready to come in this morning, and I was listening to, I like me some Marvin Sapp. Anybody out there like some gospel, some Marvin Sapp? Right? I was listening to Marvin Sapp. I've never heard the song before, but it's called Deeper. And in the song, he begins to describe how, like, right, like, there's been times in his life where he's come to the place where he's like, God, there's got to be more. And sure enough, as soon as he said that, he felt like God was calling him a little bit deeper. I like that. Come on, somebody. Just when you think that you have experienced all of God that there is, all of a sudden you'll find the Holy Spirit. Okay, now I want you to come a little bit deeper. I want you to grow a little bit more. I got some places for you to go. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has in store for those who love him. And so you might not know today, and thank God, God doesn't reveal everything that he has for you. Because if he did, your mind would blow up, okay? He's got to take you one step at a time, all right? But the promise after that is that, okay, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man what God has in store for those who love him. But he will reveal those things to us by his Spirit. And all of a sudden you think you've experienced all of God that there is, and all of a sudden God's like, opens up this little door, like, hello. You're like, whoa! But you know what? We're not going to experience that if we're not pursuing him. If we're not on purpose getting to know God. You got to get to know him more. That's what it means to grow in your relationship with God. It means to get to know him more. We sang it tonight, and you know what? Some of you still need to discover, or maybe tonight you need to remember, because sometimes we know things and then we forget them. You know, humanity is really good at forgetting. All right, but forgetting is really bad, because if you forget, it's just like not knowing. Y'all follow me tonight. And some of you may need to come to the revelation that God, he's not just God, but he's a good father. He's not just God, he's a father. And you've got to get to know him as your father. It's a whole different kind of relationship that takes place when God moves from being just God to being God and a father. And the Bible says he's the best father that the world has ever seen. In fact, all the other fathers, well, they're all evil in comparison to him. And if you evil fathers think you know how to be good, ooh, how much more does your heavenly father know how to be good? All of a sudden, this understanding moves you into a different place in your spiritual life than you've ever been before. Okay, let me try this side. But you understand, getting to know God more. How about getting to know his love more? The Apostle Paul prayed, you know what? I pray for these people that they would come to know what is the width and length and height and depth of your love so that they could be rooted and grounded. All of a sudden, you get to know God's love more. We're talking about growing up spiritually, and we're being specific tonight. And what does it mean to grow up spiritually? It means to grow in your relationship with God. That means getting to know him more. That means getting to know his love. And the Bible says that when you come to know God's love as you should, all of a sudden it produces this thing called steadfastness in your life. You move from a place from being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. All of a sudden I'm going this way because this is what President Barack Obama told me to do. Then Jay-Z says something a little bit different. All right, this is what Jay-Z said. And next you know, you're back over here. This is what Beyonce said. Beyonce doesn't even agree with Jay-Z. I have no idea what I'm doing in life. You need steadfastness. You need to know God's love more. You need to know his word more. All right? How about getting to know the generosity of God? Did you know that God is generous? Did you know that? Like, super generous. Like, you can't keep him from giving to you. Some of us, we approach our prayer life like, we'll see if God answers this time. Are you kidding me? He gave Jesus. It don't get better than that, y'all. And it says he freely gave him. And you come to God, God, I just want to know if you will help me get into college. Something so much simpler and so much, we got to get to know God better. You know what? Young people, we all need to get to know God's voice more. Yeah, you could clap. You could clap for that. I've been working with the Young Adults Ministry now for 13 years. Believe it or not. And I've heard a lot of young adults over the years say that they heard God's voice, and then they told me what God said, and I was like, oh, hallelujah. You know, it's kind of hard for a minister to help you once you put that stamp on what you think that you've heard. There's a man by the name of Brother Hagin, and Brother Hagin had this wonderful I'll just tell you, his name's Doug Jones. And Doug Jones was like, you know, if you went to Rainbow Bible Training Center, he was like everybody's favorite teacher, even though he told everybody we're not supposed to have favorites. We all disobeyed. Anyways, and there is this moment where Doug Jones had worked for Brother Hagin for a long time. And if you don't know who Brother Hagin is, he's just a great, mighty man of God. And Doug Jones worked for Brother Hagin, actually lived in his house for a little while, traveling with him and so on and so forth. And Doug Jones got a little bit upset about a decision that Brother Hagin made. And so he went to Brother Hagin and was like, yeah, I'm leaving the church. I'm going to go somewhere else because I don't like that. And he was like, all right, well, how about this? Why don't you pray about it? And Doug Jones' response was, no, the Lord spoke to me and told me such and such. So he said, okay. Make a long story short, Doug Jones said, but I'll pray about it just because you asked me. Went home, was still mad, left Rhema. 3 years later, he realized he missed it. And he says he came back to Brother Hagin with his tail between his legs. Can I have my job back? And they did. They let him back. And then Doug Jones said to Brother Hagin, how come you didn't how come you didn't, you know, argue with me more? How come you didn't try to stop me? How come you just kind of let me go? You know what Brother Hagin's response was? The moment that you used the God said card is when I stopped. I will not be found to fight against God. And if you feel like God spoke to you, I'm going to let you do what you think that he spoke to you. All I'm saying to you tonight is that, you know what? We need to get to know the voice of God better. Because if we're all honest today, we have all thought that we have heard the voice of God and we have all missed it. Pastor Joe included. I am guilty of saying I heard the voice of God. You know, one of the most, you know, growing times for me is when I went, actually, my cousin's right here in the front row. I went to his church a long time ago, and I was just so touched at his church, and God was calling me to go to Bible college. And so what I did was I heard what God was saying. I could sense what God was wanting to do, but then I took what God said, and I said, and God wants me to go to this Bible college. So I came back here to the Rock. I was like, let me have a meeting with Pastor Jim. I need to talk to him about my future and what he thinks. And Pastor Jim was like, yeah, you shouldn't go to that Bible college. I was like, destroyed. God told me to go, and you're my senior, but you tell me not to go. You told me not to go. I was so confused. He told me, you should go to Rhema. What? Never even heard that word before. Where is that? It's in Tulsa, Oklahoma. No! This school is in Irvine. I'm going to Irvine. No, you're going to Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's what I think you should do. And so I was like, okay, I was kind of discouraged. So I went to the waiting room after I was done talking to him, waiting for my mom to come pick me up. And then I saw him walk through the hallway. I was like, Pastor Jim, are you sure that it? And he was like, he actually told me, this is what he told me, you could do what you want. Thanks. So reluctantly, I went to Rhema Bible Training Center. Now, this is no knock on my cousin or the church, but I'm glad that I listened, even though I thought that I had heard the voice of God. Because during my first year at Rhema, that church, unfortunately, had some serious moral issues, and the church collapsed. I would have been in the middle of my first year at Bible College in Irvine when the whole thing would have came crumbling down. Thank God, God has been faithful to my cousin, to their family. They attended that church, and God has done wonderful things in their life despite that. But do you follow me? We got to grow up spiritually. We got to know the voice of God so that we're not just, you know, led by our emotions, saying it's the voice of God, or led by the devil. Anyways, we're talking about what it means to grow up spiritually. Number two, we need to grow in wisdom. The Bible says that Jesus grew in wisdom, right? It says that he increased in wisdom. Now, I don't believe that this wisdom was earthly wisdom. Now, there's nothing wrong with earthly wisdom. Please understand, there's nothing wrong with going to college and getting your education, all right? And getting a degree and increasing in worldly wisdom and understanding, all right? In the words of Lorne Hill, if you want to be somebody and you want to go somewhere, you better wake up and pay attention. Okay, so we're not knocking getting earthly wisdom. But we are saying that along with that, equally as important, if not more important, is this issue of spiritual wisdom. The Bible calls it revelation. It's when you're reading your Bible or you're meditating on God's word, and all of a sudden God reveals, that's what revelation means, all right, so before you get all freaky and weird. It means just simply something being revealed to you. You know, remember Peter? He's walking with Jesus, and Jesus is like, who do people say that I am? And they're like, some say you're this guy, some say you're that guy, Elijah, back from the dead, all this kind of stuff. He's like, all right, who do you say that I am? And Peter blurts out and he says, I say that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then he says, blessed are you, Peter, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. That was a moment where he got revelation. He got spiritual wisdom, spiritual insight into some truths about God. And you know, I'm here to tell you today that God wants to fill you so full of revelation, you have no idea. And when you are filled full of revelation and the truths that come from God's word, ooh, I'm telling you right now, you're going to become a force to be reckoned with. And you're going to start to live the life that God has called you to. And you're going to start to beat up on the devil instead of the devil beating up on you. And you're going to start to become a powerhouse who's doing things in their lives through revelation. So how does revelation come? Simply put, revelation comes as you spend time in the word of God. How many believe that God is worth spending time on? God's word is worth spending. I heard a person a long time ago say, you know, I don't like to call it spending. I like to call it investing. That's fine, however you want to call it. But you understand, if you're going to invest, you're still spending. You're just going to get a return on what you're putting in. Y'all follow. Okay? And as you spend more time in the word of God, all of a sudden you're going to begin to see things like I saw. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. I was like, oh my God, am I growing or have I stopped? You know what else is, can we just be honest? I know I'm taking a long time. My goodness, shut up. All right. Let's just be honest. How many of you read over verses and you're like, I have no clue what that means, right? Like, I'm the pastor and I have no clue what stuff means. But you know what's cool is the Bible talks about don't just read God's word like you read any other book. When you read, take time to meditate on it. Now, that doesn't mean to be weird. Okay, go get in a corner, put out a mat and cross your legs and all right, that's not, I mean, I suppose you could do it that way, but that's weird. All right, it means to rehearse, think it over, ponder. It has this implication. You know, have you ever studied a cow, how a cow works? Like, it chews up its food, it eats it, and then it kind of like throws it up into its mouth or throat or whatever, and then it chews it, and then it swallows it, and goes into, it has like four chambers in its stomach. Like, this process is like a four. Aren't you thankful you're not a cow? Like, it goes in and it comes out and that's it. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right? But a cow, it eats it and then it comes up and it goes into the next part and it digests the food a little bit more, and then it comes up and it goes into another part and digests it some more. How many realize today that this is the bread of life we're talking about here? This is food. This is drink, all right? And what God wants you to do is he wants you to regurgitate it in your heart and in your mind. And as you do, I can't tell you how many verses I was like, I have no idea what that means, Jesus. I just receive it by faith. But then I thought about it. I thought about the verses around it. Next thing I know, I'm like, oh, I get it. I get it. I see it. I get it. And the same will happen to you. All right? We need to grow in wisdom. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Just pop it up real quick. We'll go to our last point. We'll close it down, I promise, really fast here. Ephesians chapter, it says, Paul's praying here, and this is what he's praying for Christians. He says, do not cease to give thanks for you, for Christians, making mention of you in my prayers. All right, what kind of prayers are you praying, Paul? Next verse. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, ooh, there's that word, the Father, but we're not talking about that right now, of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's what God wants to give you. All right, let me just do this. Maybe we'll save this other point for another time. If you look at Paul the Apostle's life, I believe it's 2 Corinthians 12. It could be 1 Corinthians 12. I forget which one, but it's one or the other. And he starts off this chapter, and he makes this statement. He says, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. And he begins to describe that he began to accumulate so many revelations about God. The Bible says that he was got to the place where he was being exalted above measure. Like, in other words, he was living life on a whole different plane than anybody else. And he says what it was due to. It was due to the amount of revelations that he was accumulating through his relationship with God, through his relationship with the Word of God. And actually got him to move to a whole nother level. So much so that he got special attention from the devil. Now, how many realize today that the devil is not infinite like God? He's not all powerful. He's not all knowing. He's not in every place at one time. He's a created being. Okay? That means that if he's going to try to wage war against God, he's going to have to be smart on how he, puts into action his attacks. Because he can't be everywhere at one time. Y'all follow me. Who do you think he's going to attack more? Just the average Christian? Mike, stand up for me. Mike has just been exalted above measure. So if I were the devil, and this is a really bad example. I hate that. No. If I were the devil, who do you suppose, out of everybody in this room, I'm going to spend my time coming against? Is it going to be Antonio? God bless your heart, Antonio. Thanks for being a good... Is it going to be, I don't know, Phil over here? Is it going to be Curtis? No, who am I going to spend my time trying to mess with? It's going to be Mike, because Mike's been exalted above measure. He's on a whole nother plane. He's living life on a different level. Thank you very much, Mike. So, maybe I've taken too much time to explain what I'm trying to say, but simply put, as you begin to gain those truths that can only be found through revelation, only can be found spiritually, the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit. They're foolishness to him. They must be received. They must be discerned spiritually. And as you pursue God, you're going to get these spiritual insights. It's no wonder that the world thinks that we're crazy. Right? Why? Because they don't see like we see. They don't know like we know. The Bible says that the devil has blinded their hearts and their minds, lest they should believe, lest they should see the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you have family members on the same, maybe one of the things that you could pray for them is, God, remove those blinders. Remove that they would see your glory, that they would come to the knowledge of the saving power of Jesus Christ. This is all I'm saying to you is, listen, you need spiritual insights. You need spiritual wisdom. Ignorance and victory are not cohabitants. It will never work. They don't go together. You cannot have victory spiritually and be ignorant at the same time. Y'all follow me? Wisdom and revelation goes along with victory. And today I want you to live victorious, and I know that God does too. And so you know what? It's going to mean that you and I are going to have to pursue, pray, and ask God. God, give me wisdom. Help me to see what you're saying in the Word. Spend time in the Word and then meditate on it. And guess what? You're going to begin to get these insights into God's Word, and it's going to take your life to a whole new level. Christians are going to come ask you, like, why are you so happy? Why are you so blessed? Why are you so victorious? How is it that y'all follow me? Is that what you want or not? Amen. Amen. Well, I had another point, but we don't have time for that point, so I just have to let it go for today. We'll do it another time. Let me do this, though. If you got something good from God's Word, come on. Give